For Mass, we were in the sacristy where the Franciscans have custody of all the holy places here. They've done a tremendous job for almost 8 centuries. But it's particularly fitting that the Franciscans are here in Bethlehem. You probably know the story that in 1223, St. Francis, in the year around Assisi, had recognized that as the season of Advent was happening, very few people were taking it seriously. They were going about business as if everything were normal. So in a place close to Assisi, a small little hamlet called Greccio, he decided to do something. He got an ox and an ass, got parents who had just given birth to a child to bring the baby. He even tried to imitate a bright star with a torch that had lots of straw in it. And he invited all the people of the town and the surrounding regions to come to witness that scene. He wanted them to recognize that the verbs that the sacred scripture gives us with regard to Christmas are all present tense. Today, not yesterday, not in a time long, long away, a Savior is born, not for others, but for us. The response blew Francis away. He couldn't believe how many were making the trek to that cave in Greccio from all around to see what had been witnessed. And his first biographer, writing only a couple years after he had died, Tommaso Celano, said, "The child Jesus had been forgotten in the hearts of many, but through the grace of God and his servant Francis, it was reawakened and stamped upon their fervent memory." As we come here to this shepherd's cave, we have something far greater for us than what those in the 13th century had in Greccio. But the same type of response God wants to give us. Notice what Celano had said about Francis' contemporaries. That the child Jesus had been forgotten, not in the minds of many. They could sing the various Christmas carols just like we still have that memory. It had been forgotten in their hearts. They had ceased really to love and appreciate it. They had ceased to treasure it. Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be. But thanks to that scene there, they were able to enter into the mystery. And God gave the grace to stamp that fervently upon their memory. And God wants to stamp this Christmas memory as a living memorial in each of our hearts too. There are lots of ways that we could approach the mystery of Christmas. A priest ought to be able to preach about Christmas until he loses his voice eternally. We could focus on Christmas from God's perspective and what an extraordinary gift it was that God was giving himself to us so that through accepting him, we could enter into God. We could focus on the perspective of Mary and Joseph as they themselves held their Creator and their Savior in their arms and then received pilgrims from a land far, far away in the Magi and many others, saw that bright star, gave birth in a place no fancier than this. But I think here, in Beit Shahur, in this place in which we are able to learn from the shepherds, that it's important to draw 4 lessons. First lesson is about the importance of vigilance. The shepherds, Shahur, as Rami was telling us, means someone who stays awake. These shepherds were on the watch. They were able to hear the message proclaimed by the angels because they were alert. And that being awake points to an interior readiness to receive God's word through the angel. Their hearts were open. Deep down, they were waiting for God, longing for revelation. They were in a state of Advent, awaiting God's self-disclosure. And they were willing to stretch their imaginations to recognize that God's highest glory would be found wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. and that such lowliness would be in turn lifted to divine heights. Every Advent, we focus on this vigilance. But it's not just for that 4-week period. It's supposed to characterize our entire life. And the shepherds model for us what it means to be alert and awake for the Lord whenever and however He arrives. Like the shepherds, we're all called to be vigilant, to be awake, to be alert. Because if we're not awake to the presence of the God of the Lord within us, to His word announced through messengers, then we're essentially living in a dream world that will make us often miss God's promptings. The second lesson the shepherds teach us is how to respond to God's promptings when He gives them. The gospel passage tells us that they made haste to go to Bethlehem. This expression calls to mind what we heard about Mary in the visitation, that as soon as the angel told her that her elderly cousin Elizabeth was pregnant in her old age, she booked it to care for her. The shepherds, like Mary, didn't wait to respond to God when they found some open time in their calendar. They didn't even wait to the morrow or for daylight. Didn't even need to be suggested to the shepherds, hey, it would be a good thing if you were to go to this manger and find that child wrapped in swaddling clothes. As soon as the angels left, they said, let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place that the Lord has made known to us. They considered that what God had revealed to them was so important that they had to go immediately. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful reflections in the infancy narratives, asked, how many Christians today make haste when the things of God are concerned? He said in a Christmas homily, it's probably not very often that we make haste for the things of God. God doesn't feature normally among the things that require haste. The things of God can wait, we think and we say to ourselves. And yet the most important thing, ultimately the one truly important thing, is to meet God. For many of us, as Pope Benedict indicates, we don't properly prioritize the things of God. We squeeze them in if we have time left over after we do all those other things we say are really important on our agenda, rather than center our whole life on God. We believe that we can postpone things like prayer or studying His Word or learning our faith better than any of us knows our professions or doing works of charity. We're not ready to leave the confines of our own ordered and insulated world, our own wishes and whims, to journey, stat team, immediately to meet the Lord and to worship Him. The shepherd's example, however, teaches us that God should be our highest priority. They show us the freedom that comes from faith, the freedom that helps us to put everything else in second place to God, so that we might respond promptly to His inspirations. The Israelites had waited for centuries, as we ponder every Christmas, for the coming of the Messiah. But when He came, the vast majority of the Israelites were not alert and not prepared to change their priorities to be with Him who had taken on our nature to be God with us. The innkeepers weren't ready to change their priorities. The scholars of the law around Herod had no room for Him. He came to His own, as St. John says in his prologue. His own people didn't accept Him. But those He did, He gave power to become children of God. The shepherds, on the other hand, accepted the message. They made God their priority. They went without delay to be with God, and they received this power. Mary and Joseph and the wise men also responded in the same way, totally adjusting their life to the reality of Christ's arrival in the world. And they show us, each of us, that it's possible to do the same. Third lesson we learned from the shepherds, we focused on a little bit yesterday in Gethsemane, that we have to move, we have to change in order to encounter the Lord as He wants. By God's design, the Holy Family could have been directed here to the cave where the shepherds were dwelling, so that the shepherds wouldn't have had to have moved an inch. But even though the eternal Son of God traveled the great distance from heaven to earth to be with them, he was born a short distance away, so that they likewise would have to move. If you notice in the Gospels, Jesus is constantly doing this. He heals everybody, but instead of going to them, he goes up a small little mountain so that everybody can carry the lame there, so that they're participating. When he heals Bartimaeus, the blind man, on the road to Jericho, and Bartimaeus is crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, who was mercy incarnate, could have easily gone over to where this blind man was, but instead he said, "Call him," so that this blind man would have to take off his shawl, leave it behind, who knows if he'd ever find it again, and go toward Jesus' voice. Jesus comes close, but he doesn't come to our sofa. He wants us to get up and travel that short distance to exercise our freedom to go find him. At no point in his public life, at no point of his entire life, does he say, "Stay where you are." But he calls us to the dynamism of faith. Come follow me and go to the ends of the earth. Pope Benedict said that the birth of Christ challenges us to reassess our priorities, our values, our very way of life. Christmas is an occasion for an examination of conscience, an examination in which we ask the big question, am I prioritizing God fully? The last lesson that shepherds teach us is that if we really want to live Christmas well, if we're vigilant, if we leave where we are and go without delay to where he is to be found, then we will be changed by him forever. In the shepherd's case, St. Luke tells us that having adored Jesus, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They became evangelizers, taking this Gaudium Magnum that the angels had announced to them out to others, as Rami was saying, as shepherds could do effectively. They became essentially like new angels, singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. And as we come to adore the good shepherd who came so that we would lack nothing, and lead us even through dark valleys with his rod and his staff to verdant pastures, they show us how to glory in that gift so that others might join us, hearing the Good Shepherd's voice calling them by name. As we prepare to adore here on this altar the same Christ whom the shepherds adored in swaddling clothes in the manger, we ask the Lord, born for us today, to work in us the same miracle of faith and love he worked in the shepherds, so that we may always be alert to how God with us is still with us and always with us, to convert from our present habits and go to him without delay, and then, having been transformed by this holy encounter, become angels that others will be able to hear from on high today, tomorrow, and always. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Praise be Jesus Christ.